you can always tell who true UFC fans are because they look at someone like GSP and they're like, oh, he's not a good fighter. What are you talking about? Just because he isn't like throwing fucking.
Right? GSP is very technical. He's a great athlete.
He just submits you.
Yep, he just wins. GSP is just a winner. He's going to smother.
And he gives you nothing.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah,
you go into the octagon with GSP and you're going to hope to tie him at best.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because he gives you nothing.
Well, yeah, he's very technical, very sound. He doesn't overextend. So it's like, he's just an all-around fighter. He's just an all-around. Yeah.
So if you appreciate the technical side of UFC, then you appreciate the skill that GSP has.
Yep.
But fucking posers, right, will look at it and say, well, it's not exciting. He's not throwing bombs.
Well, I'll tell you what GSP is. GSP is the equivalent of Tim Duncan in the NBA, right? Remember, big fundamental. Like, people did, like casual fans did not like Tim Duncan because he wasn't, he wasn't flamboyant. He wasn't boisterous. He wasn't all flashy. So they're like, the Spurs are boring. But if you know basketball and you watch the Spurs, like, no, this team is very technically sound. They're playing good basketball. Like, if women had actual athletic ability, they would be the Spurs of those years.
We are live, so welcome, episode 77 of the MGTOWN Podcast.
Ooh.
I didn't have an intro for this one, so it's your only weekly source of two black men sitting around and a third one pretending to be black.
Hey, you can take my black card. I had to give it up.
As usual, producer Tim joining me is the mayor of MGTOWN, Drexel. Say hi.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. I mean, this is a crazy time. We are still in the middle of the Amber Heard thing. The only thing worse than JD and AH is what Vanish is going to tell us. Our guest, Vanish Mantle.
Oh, man. I've been waiting for this. I actually thought about doing some YouTube videos on this prior to coming on the show. I know last time we spoke, I said, I'm going to start working on YouTube content. But every time I sat down to record a video, I just couldn't. It didn't sound right coming out. You just kind of sit down and try to rehash all the bullshit you've been through. It just doesn't come out in a way that seems like it's part of what makes I'll relate this to the Johnny Depp Amber Heard situation. When you've dealt with abuse, you know, it's hard to go back through it. And that's what we're not seeing from Amber Heard. Me, I was emotionally and physically abused by my father. So a lot of this, what we're going to go through today, is me kind of just coming to terms with a lot of that stuff. So, like, this is perfectly timed.
Well, I mean, the beauty of your story is that, of course, A, it has a happy ending. You're sitting before us today. And B, it has an even happier ending because there's going to be a lot of levity here. Because, I mean, you got a sister that went to OnlyFans. And, here's the thing. Let's be real. Most people don't actually know or at least they it isn't like publicly known, right? Like there could be a girl that a guy knows right now. Maybe it's his girlfriend or wife, right? She has a secret OnlyFans. But like most people don't know someone personally on OnlyFans. Kind of like with the Koof. Most people, you know, if you ask them, did you know anybody who you know passed away of the Koof? They're like, no. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you hear all these cases, but like very rarely does someone say, no, man, I saw my own eyes. Like, you can say, no, I saw OnlyFans with my own eyes. Like, goddamn. I saw, you know, camera A, camera B, the light. Man, shit. Goddamn, it's getting real in these streets. Yeah, Vanish. I mean, where does the start of the story, man? Take us back. Let's go.
All right, so I live in Virginia, right? Or I have lived in Virginia.
Wait, is that where Amber Heard's trial is taking place?
Yes, it's actually in my state.
Oh shit!
Over Fairfax, Virginia. I'm not kidding. Last week I could have gone to the courthouse and sat in the courthouse, but I couldn't afford to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not worth it.
Fairfax, Virginia is also ground zero for a lot of the CRT stuff going on in the public schools.
Oh, yeah. Loudoun County was actually what helped win the current governor. Like, they pulled so hard red that it's ridiculous.
Mm. Yeah, and Fairfax is, like, the deep blue part of Virginia.
Yeah, because it's like, only a few, less than an hour away from D.C.
Yeah,
you know, you've got Fort Belvoir, like, right around the corner. Mm-hmm. You've got the Pentagon that's, like, within 30 minutes drives, depending on where you're at in Fairfax or Loudoun County. And D.C.'s, like, only, stone's throw away, and boom, you're right there.
Because the city of Arlington is in Fairfax County. Is that correct? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it is.
Okay,
that's the same area. I think Blacksburg's a little bit south from there, but that whole area is part of like the what we call like the blue cancer of Virginia. Because when you go further south, like in the area I'm in, which is the Greater Hampton Roads area, it's fairly blue because you got Virginia Beach, which is like super blue. But that's also where the rich fucks live, you know, with their beach homes. It's also one of the areas in Virginia with the highest amount of crime in Hampton Roads. So Norfolk, Suffolk, that's a little more purplish. It can swing either way. Yorktown's very red compared to that. Newport News is kind of blue, which is the city I'm in. And all this is kind of just like, but when you start getting further out into more rural areas like Remington, Virginia, which is where things really start to go downhill with, as far as my dad goes, and I'll get there. But that's a very red area. We're talking.
Of course, it's Remington, no less, right?
Yeah, Remington, Virginia.
I heard the word Remington. I had other images in my head.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
No, but anyways, Fairfax County, any of the public schools in Fairfax County is where you'll find stories of, you know, trans people doing drag queen story hour, flashing their ball sack to little kids. It all starts in Fairfax.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean, you look how close you are to the bullshit in D.C. It makes sense.
Yeah.
I remember there's some senators who have come down, or, you know, officials in the government who come down to Virginia and have harassed people. I mean, you look up Virginia, and we're one of the few states who go pretty hard on that kind of stuff.
So now, speaking of the Amber Heard trial, I just got a notification that Nick Riccata has passed 400,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I heard about that. I have to congratulate him.
That is... Yeah, so he's promised us a 96-hour stream. according to a woo.
Yeah, no, don't believe a woo. I've been in that Discord long enough to know that. Don't believe anything a woo says.
So, anyways, congratulations to Nick Riccata. When this episode comes out, I'll be sure to tag him.
Indeed. Congratulations, Nick. Hopefully one day I'll get to talk to you.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, don't send Nick a DM. He never answers them.
Oh, yeah. I sent him, actually, believe it or not, initially when I first came across Drex, you had actually opened a college course. And I was like, dude, I volunteer as tribute for this. Because this was like, I was still reeling from some of the bullshit from back when I was certified cuck or simp or whatever you want to call it. I'm happy to admit that I was one of those no women. Yes, queen. Or not yes queen, because fuck black women.
Okay, so recite the pledge with me. It's forgive me, Father Drexel, for I have sinned.
Forgive me, Father Drexel, for I have sinned.
I know. It's okay. It's okay. Just offer up a German Shepherd as fucking tribute.
Well, that's really easy. I'll just offer half of my family up.
I know, man.
They're not worth it anyway. And look. 2016 made me realize one thing. Family ain't worth shit.
Nope,
not at all. If you can excommunicate parts of your family just for, you know, believing differently than you, you're not worth my time.
I know, dude. You ain't got to tell me. I've seen it. I've seen it throughout my life. I'm like, oh, wow. So people talk all this stuff, but at the end of the day, they're the ones who are basically canceling people because they have a different view or they voted for a certain person. And it's like, canceled? Like, no, I don't talk to them anymore. It's like, wow, okay.
Yeah, fuck them. One of my cousins, she was getting on to me about like how I'm oppressed and I don't know. I'm voting against my own jurisdictions. And I just was like, what the fuck are you talking about? How about you go play in traffic? And her mom lost her shit. My mom was like, yo, that's uncalled for. Like, look, she's calling me outside my name. I just told her to go play in traffic. That's it. I didn't call her stupid. I didn't call her moron in front of all our family on Facebook. I didn't call her outside her name. I just told her to go play in traffic. Is that simple? Yep. That you can make it that what you will.
That's too much. That's too much for these people. But like when we think about your story, how does it begin? Take us all the way back.
So
what's our beginning?
I have to go way back because, to be honest, my story with my father goes back before I even could really speak. So my dad is somebody who is military or has been in military family. He joined the Navy but was medically discharged as bipolar. So that's like the short end. One point in time, my mom, I think we were in Virginia Beach when this happened, but I wanted to come up and spend some time with my dad. He was drinking or something like that. And my dad turns to me and says, "Go away. I'm tired of you. You're bothering me." And apparently that's like one of the moments where that broke me and I just ran off. It's like, "I hate you," or something like that. Or I yelled, "Go away." And I ran off. My mom dealt with that. I don't even remember that. That was like when I was, but that's before I could even remember, you know? So that's like one of the first things to tell you, kind of like the overarching kind of sentiment for how the rest of this is going to go. So there's a point in time where my dad legitimately left my mom for like good. Like it was over. Me, my three siblings were up in New Jersey, and I remember this. There were times where we were in her parents' home. My grandmother had left. She went somewhere. I don't remember. She wasn't in a state or using her home anymore. Her husband had died, I think that year or a little bit before then. But some of this time period is just kind of fuzzy. So you can see already my dad's not there, you know, for part of it. And he was going, he would come down to visit, but was always like in this weird, like, who the hell is this guy? I'd never see him kind of way. Like, but the thing is, he was in a VA hospital because he's bipolar and he would kept going off his medication. Now, keep in mind, this is going to be a reoccurring thing that we're going to have to deal with. The not staying on medication is going to keep coming up, and the drinking. Obviously, if you're on medication for bipolar disorder, which is very different from borderline personality disorder and HPD. All right. Just so I want people to understand that, because sometimes I can get mixed up. I even mix it up from time to time when I see like the BPD, right?
Yeah.
So bipolar is usually just BP, if I remember correctly, as far as the acronym.
About to ask Ken.
So in all of that, he would show up every now and then in New Jersey, and then eventually he writes this very flowery letter to get, you know, to get back to my mom. Mom's like, "Hey, if we're going to do this, this is it. I'm not playing around with you. This is what we have to do." So they get back together. And then for like a good 15 years, it's kind of good. There's some parts that think back to now, I'm like, it was rough. You talk about like another significant moment is after my youngest brother was born. We're watching the Goofy movie. We're just chilling. And so us three kids, you know, I don't even remember if our dad was there or not. We don't remember, but we were watching the Goofy movie. Me and my sister or my brother had played around some nail polish, put it back on the table. Like, we were just looking at it, you know. Your kid, you're curious. Shit's left out. You fuck around some stuff. So we did that. We put it back. And then we were just watching Goofy movie. Keep in mind, my youngest brother is a toddler at this time. He's like 2. So he goes, grabs a nail polish, gets it everywhere on the carpet. Oh. My dad comes out and he loses his shit. Not only does he tear into me, he tears into my brother and my sister. Then proceeds to say, "We're going to sit at this table because we're not responsible enough to watch our sibling." Keep in mind, my mom asked him to watch us. So here I am. I'm like 7 at the time, or 6. I don't know. My siblings are staggered like a year each. So my sister is 16, or it's 18. 18 months younger than me, because her birthday's in April. And then my youngest brother, his birthday is actually coming up in August. And he's like 16 months younger than her. So you can see the stagger effect in our births, right? So he's like just lose. He loses his shit. He tears into me, my sister, and my youngest brother. And my youngest brother's like, "The fuck is this? Like, you know, what's going on here?" And then all of our toys, for whatever reason, my dad's like, "You guys don't deserve anything." Decides to yeet all of our toys, donate them to charity. My birthday had just passed, so I had just gotten birthday presents that I picked out myself. Those had to be thrown away or given to charity because I'm selfish or some bullshit like that, because I refuse to watch our sibling and keep him from getting into stuff. Mind, he was supposed to be the one in charge with all this stuff. You want to know what he was doing? He's back in his room, you know, quote unquote, praising the Lord and reading the Bible. Just so you know, for anybody who's sensitive about that, I do have a faith in God, but that's a fucking excuse on his part. I heard stories from my mom about how while she was pregnant with them, he decided to take her to go get drugs. And that's when he was pregnant with me. And it almost led to him dying there at that time over some weed, because he thought the guy was ripping him off. I'm just like, the fuck is this shit? You can almost die for some fucking weed, bro. This is not that serious. You know, but that's one of the stories my mom told me. And after that, she's like, no, you're going to go by yourself. Don't ever do that to me again. You know, but my mom grew up in a very abusive household as well, and was her mother, who has very similar tendencies to Amber Heard. So you could see the kind of, you gravitate towards someone's abusive. And I can, the Lord knows only what my mom went through with my dad as far as abuse goes. She's what I would call the, quote unquote, the one, even if that even exists. And there are some it things in there I'm like, nah, mom, it's not, nah. You always have an out, you know, you always have a choice. And so I can't criticize her too much because I don't know the full story. But I know that she's been there for me and has told me to, you know, do better for myself. So you fast forward from that to when we were up in Stafford, Virginia. At this point in time, I had, I'm skipping a whole bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of random abuse, being hit, grounded for bullshit that we didn't do. We went to church one day, and because there was a couple of pieces of paper, because we were looking for our checks from, you know, the cash to from our grandparents, on the floor, and there's some stuff is dirty. My dad decided to stand in front of the door all menacingly as we come home from this New Year's Eve party, and it proceeds to beat the shit out of everybody, including my mom.
Damn.
Because he believed in this whole, if one did it, you all get it, bullshit.
Now,
he would always jump back to this Old Testament way of thinking whenever he was pissed off.
Now, Drex, you got the Switch when you were growing up, right?
Oh, yeah, man. The Switch was a way of life.
Now, do you remember thinking as a kid, oh, yeah, I definitely deserved that beating?
Yeah, see, every time I got my ass whooped, I deserved every single one.
Yeah,
it's why, like, one of the things about abuse, the real definition of abuse, is when the punishment far outweighs the crime. That's one of the main things about abuse. Like, so that's why if someone that comes home drunk and starts whooping you, that's abuse, because, like, you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
If you spilled milk and someone, like, throws you across the room and you hit your head on a window sill or something, right? That's abuse, because, like, that's far outseeding what should be happening, right? Like,
well, and it fucks with your sense of justice.
Correct. Yeah, yeah, because, yeah. Now you're fucked up.
Yeah. Because now you can't appropriately gauge severity.
Yeah, yeah. It's based on the person's emotional state. So now it's subjective, whereas justice should be objective. Like, okay, yeah, you did this. This is the punishment. Oh, you stole something, so now I'm going to take something of value from you so you can see how that person would have felt that you stole from. So then you start realizing, oh, okay, these are the consequences for my actions. But in Vanish's case, I mean, basically sounds like based on whatever mood he was in, you guys were at the mercy.
Oh, yeah. There were times where we were playing and we were quiet. My dad would come upstairs. He's like, the hell's going on here? We were like, the fuck? He would just snap. One minute, he's good. Next minute, he's just losing his shit. and starts going off and screaming. And it was like, you never knew. And it only got worse as time went on. We started seeing more and more and more. And that's why I kind of fast forwarded through high school. I'll put it this way. My dad decided, as we joined this church, and because of the type of person he is, and I think he might have some of that BPD, HPD, he might be multiple diagnoses, I don't know. But he does exhibit some of the things that Amber Heard does, which is he tries to chameleon. He always bragged about being able to fit in and get along with anyone. So he would got involved in this church, and this church didn't like the fact that we were homeschooled.
Didn't?
So he said, yeah, they did not like the fact that we were homeschooled. And the reason is because we were very educated. And when I mean educated, I don't mean that bullshit where, oh, the LGBTQ rights and, you know, philosophy and garbage. No, I'm talking when I was in eighth grade, I was already learning calculus. Mm-hmm. I was already studying trig. I was doing physics. I was going way above where my current grade level was, because my mom wanted us to be better. She always pushed for excellence. Go out, do more, learn for yourself. If you have a question, her favorite thing to say, hey, mom, what does this mean? Go look it up. Got to the point where I'm like, hey, mom. Oh, fuck. I'll go. You know what? Forget it. I'll go look it up. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's one of the things, like, one summer, me and my brother didn't do so hot during our test for homeschooling. So my mom had to sit down and basically read Wikipedia. And back in the day when you had encyclopedia books in the house, me and my brother had to do that and then tell her something new from the encyclopedia or Wikipedia every single day. And that was all summer long. It got to the point where I was coming to my mom to tell her, hey, mom, I just learned this about Japan. This is crazy, you know?
Yep.
And this was, but what she was trying to teach us is that school is about building a better you and not just going through the motions and memorizing stuff.
Yeah, which that's is school devolved what, into.
And that ties into the whole bullshit with the church, because we would get up there and we would question, that doesn't sound right. What you're saying about the Bible doesn't sound right, because when I read that, that's not what I'm getting from this. You know? Or times where we're talking to their kids and they're saying certain things and we're just getting like, the heck? Or the fact that we were very selective in who we associated with. They did not like that. They were like, your kids aren't like other kids, and that's the problem. They're lacking in social skills. And so my dad was like, y'all need to go to school. My mom was very adamant about that, because she saw the bullshit that's happening right now before we even went in.
Yep.
Yeah, Drex, you know? This didn't happen overnight, right?
Yeah, this has been going on. Like, this, like I tell people, this woke shit has been going on, man. This is not...
The first time I noticed it... Since 2016. Oh, the first time I noticed it was... because I've told the story of how I got red-pilled very, very, very young. I mean, that's how I noticed, is the schools were... They put girls first,
mm-hmm.
in everything, right? They fully bought into the whole feminism,
yep.
Lie, and of course when in the 90s, every boy had ADHD.
Oh yeah, allegedly.
Oh yeah, that's another thing too.
Yeah, I was diagnosed with
drug them up. Yep.
My mom refused that shit. They said that your son is too. Like during my third year in school, she's like, your son is such a terrible influence and he never focuses in her class. I'm like, well, what's the problem? Well, he finishes his homework and the lesson before everybody else. And then he's just, I'm like, and what's the problem? Well, then he doesn't, like, he'll draw. Okay.
I'd throw shit.
I would joke around with another kid who would also get done with his work quickly too. So me and him and his desk were next to each other. So the teacher then moved me up to the front of class, and because I was the problem, and she would always talk to me. And so I was like, okay, blah, blah. But here's what's fucked up. My mom would catch the bullshit that was being tossed out in front of us, but my dad was just kind of like, I don't see what's so bad about it. So it's like, for instance, this particular teacher who had it out against me, because at this time I was bringing my Bible to class, and she tried to tell me that I could not bring my Bible to class because separation of church and state. I turned her looking at her, said, no, that's for you, the teacher. You can't teach me about God, but I can talk about God in your class. And she was like, no, you can't. That's against the law. I'm like, actually, no, it's not. I said, go look it up. And this teacher lost her shit. Called my mom, the principal, all that happened. I'm in the principal's office, and I'm telling the principal, separation of church and state does not apply to me, the student. The principal didn't like that. My mom came up there and was like, what's the problem? Well, your son's reading the Bible in class. He's quiet, isn't he? Yeah. But separation of church and state, he's like, really? That's for you guys. He's right. You're wrong. In fact, here's a statue. And she starts reading it off. And then the principal's like, oh my God, it's an educated black woman. Oh,
you're not supposed to know your rights.
You know?
Yeah, you're not supposed to know your rights.
Wait, exactly.
Was the principal a woman too? Obviously.
Yeah, the principal was a woman, of course.
Oh,
and she was an older, blonde, white woman. And my teacher was a witch. I'm not kidding. A full-blown witch. Like Jamestown.
Like Wiccan.
Practicing Wiccan. Iconography all over the classroom and everything.
Oh, of course.
My mom saw that shit and she had us transferred out of her class. Or me out of her class.
You know what's funny, Drake? You know how many teachers don't know that the Constitution does not restrain private business? It only restrains the government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't say you, Drex, a person, are violating my First Amendment rights. Yep. That doesn't mean anything.
It's strictly for the government. And that's one of the things my mom taught us. Now, I said all that to say with the whole issue. So you could kind of see the foundation I have. My mom was more proactive in defending our freedoms or rights as people, while my dad was just kind of,
Go along to get along kind of stuff.
Go along to get along. Yeah. But that's the kind of household he grew up in, where he was kind of like a tyrant in some ways to his siblings. But then as he grew up in society, he just kind of, like I said, chameleoned, just blend in and just be part of the group and yes sir, yes ma'am, you know, sort of bullshit, until he gets pissed and then he loses his shit. So during high school, when we were put back in high school, my dad really started coming at me hard with accusations because I wasn't skirt chasing. My parents were like, look, you get a girl pregnant, you're gonna take care of her so you don't get her pregnant by keeping your dick in your pants. And this was my mom. My dad was just, he would always try to pressure me. Man, what about that girl? Why don't you go, you know, holler at her and try to take her out? Like, no, Dad, I'm not interested. I'm trying to play this fucking Golden Suns out, Dad. I'm trying to play Golden Sun. Like, I'm not interested in that bitch, you know? But at this time, I wasn't thinking about that. I'm like, video games, bro. Like, why do I have time for women? Halo just came out. Like, I'm trying to finish the game on Legendary, you know? So that could tell you about around the time when I was in high school, you know? Those were my first experiences where I got into gaming. My mom always said, I'd rather my kids be in the house playing video games, because she knew where we were at. We weren't out in the street. And she always was like, hey, if you want to come over to our house to play games, we're fine with that. You know? So our house became like the hangout spot for all the kids in the neighborhood, no matter where we lived. And that just became a common occurrence. And other parents were like, hey, I know when my kids are at your place, things are right. And that was something my mom did. My dad hated it. He would come down and say, y'all being too loud, y'all need to leave. Every time.
Yep.
He could have gone to work, come home, and just come in and start scowling at people like, damn, dad, like, shit. Like, you weren't even home all day. And he would tell us, God said go play. And I'm like, we did. Like, the fuck are you talking about? Like, you see our rollerblades right by the door as you came in. How the fuck do you think they got there?
Well,
you know.
So how did this progress from there then? Because I mean,
he started. This is where I was telling you, like the progression. So with the whole, we're back in high school at this point in time. So I'm in my sophomore year, and this is when my dad is trying to push me to start really kind of going for girls. And previously, I did have a crush on a girl, and I did ask her out, you know, do all that sappy shit when, you know, you're really young. And that girl, this is one of the first times that I realized, damn, I was just number two. I caught her in the woods kissing another dude that her parents didn't like. He was the bad boy.
Yeah, of course.
Running Aristophilia. God damn it.
Oh, yeah.
It was, but young me didn't understand that. I just thought something was wrong with me. And that's a constant thing. It's like my dad would always reaffirm that something was wrong with me. The problem was me. You just need to do better. You're not working hard enough. You're not trying hard enough to be, you know, attractive towards them, or my standards are too high, or something like that. It always felt like it was a me problem, you know. And at the time, you know, even now, I'm still fat as fuck. That's okay. I'm happy to be me. But even then, I was much larger than I was in high school, so I was getting very self-conscious and, you know, being picked on and stuff like that. There were a few times where I would dress up like I'd had long hair at this point in time, and when I say long hair, I mean shoulder-length hair. You know, like how Michael Jackson had Jerry Curl or whatever. Yep. That's what I had going. And there are a few times where I asked my mom, hey, mom, I want to try something different. Let's do cornrows. And when I did that, I tell you what, all the girls were like, damn, he's good looking. The fuck is this shit? I'm the same me as the guy who just last week was wearing cornrows.
You know, you're wearing
a I put on a blazer and a tie. People are like, what sport you play? None. I'm the same dude as yesterday. I go home and play Halo. What the fuck do you mean?
Yeah.
You know? And that's when I started noticing, you know, coaches and stuff like that were scouting me for the football team. My dad started really kind of laying into me. He's like, you need to use that big body to play sports. You know, you can use that big body to go and do things, because he wanted to be a football player, but he didn't have the body build for football. He's 6 foot, but he's also very thin and kind of, you know, he didn't really build muscle like I did. Like, I naturally build muscle. Like, I could pick up a jug of milk 2 times and boom, I'm jacked, you know, sort of situation. Yep. So that being said, my dad would come at me about this. And because I kept pushing back like that, I'm just not interested. I don't like running. I want to sit in front of my computer. I want to program. That's what I like to do. My youngest brother, who he refused to, you know, feed into his passion for football, he always chastised and said, you need to get into music. You need to give up on football, because your brother's the one who's got the body for it. So you beat him down for that shit. So you can see, like, this abuse was, like, it was a lot of it early on was just mind games. But I will never forget the time where on homecoming dance, my mom got a call that I was in a nurse office. I'd asked a girl out to homecoming. She turned around and proceeded to drop me right in the testicles. No lie. So I wake up in a nurse's office in high school. My mom was called to let her know that this happened. Girl wasn't punished. Not at all. Nothing happened to her. She then comes around and says, you know, I'm sorry, you know, my friends have told me that I've been stalking you, blah, blah. Yeah, her friends are the ones who pushed me to ask her out to dance, because nobody else would ask her out to dance.
Damn.
Figured that shit out.
Yeah, it's weird.
What is that shit? To this day, I still don't understand that shit. And so, you know, my friend, like, I make jokes out of it all the time, because my friend at the time, he was there with me, but he was just like, everybody, all my friends were like, yo, that's fucked up. Why would you do that to him? You know, he's a cool guy. And so my dad was just like, well, it's your approach is wrong. You just come off very masculine, come off very feminine. And you're just, you know, so this is where I really started getting railed upon. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, it's short from here. It just builds. It escalates to like 11 where, and then after that, we're homeschooled. My senior year, I'm homeschooled. And, you know, I've become more of a recluse and stuff like this. And I had issues with my allergies. And so I went to the doctors with my dad and then started getting tested. Well, like, my dad brings up the fact that, you know, oh, well, me being overweight, obviously, got man boobs, you know? And so he's just like, oh, yeah, I want to get his testosterone tested. It's really fucked up when you see your dad get a hard-on in the middle of a clinical visit.
The fuck?
I'm not kidding. And then you start hearing things like your dad saying, you know, I know you want to sleep with me.
What?
I know you have feelings for me as your dad.
Like, what the fuck? What a charming and doting father.
But these are the subtle things that are being said to me throughout my teenage years. So I get to be 20 And we're still there. At this point in time, I had fucked up my foot. At this point, I had ballooned up to 600 pounds. You can think, you can only fathom why I was just packing on weight over more and more. You know, now thinking back to it, I'm just like, well, it all makes sense. So I fucked up my right foot. At this point in time, in a walking cast and all this shit is happening, this is where my dad really starts to lose his shit. He stops taking his medication, talks about how, you know, the Lord has delivered him from his medications and he no longer is bipolar, but he's like losing his shit. He's going off. He picks up my youngest sister at one point in time and gets so pissed off at her because she happened to poop her diaper, picks her up and screams, "Shut the fuck up!" And it just drops her and then steps over her and then goes upstairs.
Damn. Now, hold on now. Hold on. Remember what I always say. Any kid who grows up with a fucked up childhood, who's at fault?
Your mom.
Your mom. Your mom is the reason for that. Yep. She, remember, women choose who they're going to have babies by, right?
Yep.
So you're telling me your mom, who is this sweet lady and likes to homeschool kids, saw none of this out of your dad with, you know, kid after kid after kid.
This is one of those things where I think because of the abuse that she suffered through her mom, much like with Johnny, where you get that abuse from the parent, you think this is, it feels normal until something smacks you upside the head and says, "Hey, dumbass, this is not normal." Because my mom's gone back and talked to me about this. She's talked to my siblings about this, where she said she failed us.
Now, you know what my problem is with the this train of thought?
Yeah.
One of the things that bothers me is really simple. Where do people, like I said, let's just say for the sake of argument, you're someone who's been in an abusive relationship, right? And mm-hmm. you feel that that is normal. Now, I can agree with you. Okay, sure. For the sake of argument, I'll agree with you. Here's where the flaw in the logic comes in. Where do you see positive reinforcement of this logic, right? Okay, watch this. Let's watch movies. Are you seeing that? You know, you don't, let's be honest. You don't see guys putting hands on women in movies like that, right? We can all agree on that. That's just not normal. Yeah. Okay, commercials. Nope. When you walk around, right, you're at the mall, do you see men out there like berating women in public? Nope. Like, there's nowhere in society, unless you're behind closed doors, right? But there's nowhere in society that this would be reinforced. So when people say, well, this was my norm, shouldn't you have been out and about and then looked at somebody in, you know, having a picnic in the park and been like, wow, they look like they're not stressed and worried about him snapping at any moment. I wonder if there's something better out there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and that's my only gripe about when people talk about, you know, something that happened to them in the past. I'm like, you know, it's a cycle then. It's just a cycle. Fuck, yeah. Break the cycle. You see what I'm saying?
And that's the thing is, like, you know, I for myself, it's, you know, my mom said, you know, you guys have broken the cycle of the abuse sort of thing. Cause it especially on her side of the family, it's kind of fallen down the line where, mm-hmm. you know, one person abuses the next. My mom says she didn't want to do that to us, you know? And it's like, I'm not making excuses for her because like I said, she's talked to me and admitted where she's fallen short and how she's like, had I left sooner, had I done this, where would you guys be if I just said no? And I think it still eats her up to this day because we're still kind of recovering from all that abuse. Some of it is my own fault because I didn't even tell my mom until recently some of the things that my dad said to me, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, and this is why I can say, I know for myself, when you're getting called gay every day or, you know, you're just sweet or you're effeminate, then that's just smart. I'm like, well, I guess I am, you know? I would tell my friends, I'm not like normal guys. You know, I like to cook. I like this shit and that shit, you know, or all this stuff. And people look at me like, damn, yeah, I guess he is gay, you know? Mm-hmm. And you start, your world starts reinforcing what you're being told all the time. And especially when it's coming from somebody you care about or you think cares about you, it's so insidious, and that's one of the things that's the most fucked up part is because my dad would never really act this shit out when my mom was present. It would always be done in a way where he had plausible deniability. So my dad coming up to me, like when I told my mom this, my dad was like, I don't know what he's talking about. He didn't, I never said that to him. Why would I say that to him? So think like Amber Heard.
Yeah.
That sort of shit.
It's a lot of deflection.
Yeah. Amber Heard uses the line like, does that sound like something I would do?
Yeah, he said that was categorically. That's why I said, for me, this case with Johnny Depp is hit so close to home. That's I'm like, this is the perfect time for me to come out and come on and talk about this stuff, because this really did fuck with me. You know, there's a period of my life where I thought about transitioning because I really thought I was that. I thought I was part of LGBTQ. You know, I thought I was in that group because of the abuse that I suffered. And this is why I know whatever is safe for YouTube, I'll just leave that to your imagination, you know, because I'm not trying to get you guys blasted. But you get what I'm saying, right? It's like, it makes sense when people say it's mental. The majority of this is all mental bullshit. You know, like I said, your dad stops you at the top of the stairs and you're getting ready to go to work and says, you know, I know you thought about coming upstairs to rape me last night. And you're just standing there like, the fuck are you talking about? You kicked me out of the house and told me I got to walk to work.
Drex, this guy sounds like Mr. Garrison.
Yeah, he's almost but like
the opposite, right?
Yeah, Jesus. There's so many. I mean, let's be honest. In every household, like literally all across the world, right? There's a story going on, right? There's a million stories going on. We have 8 billion stories, right? Right now, there's something going on at your neighbor's house. That's why if you notice, every time something like insane happens, right? Whether it's a mass yeeting or a serial killer is found, or there's a sex dungeon, and you go, they seem like the nicest people. This stuff is happening like right there in plain sight, just under our nose, right? Manish, do you remember the Castro dude who had the girls chained up in the basement that were missing for years? Yeah. Like, remember, Tim, this could be your neighbor, right? This guy, remember that when he got caught, the guy was like, I had barbecue with this man. I was sitting there eating with this guy. You would never know, right?
That's exactly what people said about my dad.
Yep.
To this day, there are people who, to my face, said, your dad is such a great person. Why would he do that? You know, that doesn't seem right. To my face.
Sounds like Amber
Tell
Hurt.
Me I'm wrong, because his outward appearance is just this good looking guy. He can do no wrong, you know? And like I said, this only builds up. When my dad really lost his shit, and at this point in time, I'm still recovering from financial debt because my dad refused to put me on his, or because I was still considered a minor. I was 19 at the time when I fucked up my foot. So I should have still been on his insurance. I had to pay that off. Keep in mind, I had to pay off my own insurance bill while in a walking cast, working 10-hour shifts at Wawa.
Damn.
Graveyard. My dad lost his shit when I paid off the bill. He kicked me out of the house and told me I was a selfish piece of shit because he that money was supposed to be for the family and not for me, and that I need to figure out how to pay for my own medical bills.
My
dad kicked me out of the house several times. Sometimes where he, and again, this was always not in the presence of my mom. My dad said, hey, get in the car. We need to go cash a check. I told him I forgot my wallet at home. He then proceeds to, on the way home, swerving all over the road. Yeah, just snowed. So that this looks really fucked up. Car slipping and sliding down the road, and cars like beeping their horn as he's just going, wham, wham, wham. How dare you forget your wallet? You should have. And he punched me in the face. He's hit me on the arm. And, you know, I had this big old bruise on my arm. He says, when we get home, you better cover that fucking shit up, or I'm going to, you know, come after that ass. And this wasn't like I'm going to beat you. This was like a...
He's booty warrior.
Yeah, this is Johnson.
Yeah, but this, keep in mind that this is the man who told me I'm gay.
Yeah, this is all projection. I already know where this is going, but go ahead and tell us where this goes.
So my dad drags the entire family out to Arizona. At this time, I'm still dependent on my parents because I just climbed out of financial debt. You know, and I still had a whole bunch of other debt because I'd also broken my right arm. So I still had to pay for those medical bills. again, he refused to help me out with that. Okay, I'll pay off my own shit. I get a credit card and my dad decides to take that. He literally steals my own credit card and maxes it out, throws it at me, tells me, you need to pay that shit off so I can use that shit. This is on our way out to Arizona. What am I supposed to say? Well, dad, okay. You know, he's like, well, dad, that's why I got it, I guess. It can be used. You know, but what do you say to the guy who's hitting you?
Yep.
You want to keep the peace. Well, like Johnny would do. And that's why I said I relate to him so much in this instance, because there were things that I would do. Like, I would minimize, try to hide, go away, run away if I could. Hide in my room. I'm not kidding, where I would have the lights off in my room, TV turned down low, playing games, and pray to God, please don't come in my room. I got a collector's edition for Soul Calibur. He comes in the room, looks at the shirt, and it's like the Soul Calibur 4 with the Yoda and Siegfried on it. He takes it, he says, you're too fat for this shit. I'm gonna wear it, because it fits me. You should have just given it to me, you piece of shit. Walks out of the room. Now, keep in mind, I worked hard to purchase that with my own hard-earned money, and my dad just stole my own property and called me a fat piece of shit.
You know where...
And then wonders why I have self-confidence issues.
Look, man, this would have been an ass-whooping a long time ago.
I'm fast-forwarding to get to Arizona. So he drags the entire family out to Arizona. We're out there, and this is when shit turns up to 11. My dad is real losing it now. I'm laying in bed one night. He just comes in, it's just going off on me. I'm talking hate, just wailing, boom, 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 boom. And I'm just like, yo, what the fuck? Because I just gotten off from working at Walmart. And he's like, where the fuck is your paycheck, asshole? Like, what do you mean? I just got home, Dad. He's like, we got bills to pay. You need to pay for this shit. Keeping my dad decided as soon as we got to Arizona to go to Rent-A-Center and rent a whole bunch of shit. And the bill was due that day, and he wanted to keep his 72-inch TV so he could watch football.
This is so bad.
So I'm like, well, here, like, I signed it, just go cash it. And I'm like, because I gotta wake up, and I had college at the time, so I'm like, I gotta go to sleep so I can wake up and do my homework. I said, no, you need to go with me because you gotta take care of this business. You gotta learn how to be a man. Okay, so I'm like, fuck me. I've only been up all night working a graveyard shift. So I go with him. The entire time he's talking to me and telling me how shitty of a man, how I'll never amount to anything, and I'm never going to be anything. I'm not worth it. I'd be better if I wasn't born. And, you know, you can imagine saying this shit to your own son.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because you want to keep a 72-inch TV that nobody told your dumbass to get. Keep in mind, from the government, he's getting $4,000+ as a disabled veteran for wife and kids.
That money had to go somewhere, though.
Oh, yeah. I'll just let you think about it. You know, he only took my mom out in the middle of the night with me and her. Yeah. Think about that.
Yeah, the money is going somewhere, clearly.
The money is going somewhere. And that's what's fucked up. And there were other times where I got a PlayStation Portable. My dad decided that he wanted one. So what did he do? He took mine and claimed it as his own. He said, I'll get it back when I deserve it. This is in Arizona. And just kind of going forward. So he decides, he loses his shit one night, and my mom takes her to the VA. My dad sends my mom probably this fucked up email I've ever seen in my entire life. And if I can get it from my mom, I think she still has it, I'll do a video on it. This shit is unbelievable that a man said this to his wife about his own kids. And I'm paraphrasing it. He said, you know what? One of the worst mistakes I've ever made was marrying you. And even more so, having kids with you. I wish they were all dead. In fact, I'd love to come down and kill them all, including you, because you're not worth it. So that's like the sentiment of that email. He's to his own wife threatening it. Keep in mind, this dumbass is not smart enough to realize my mom could get into all of his accounts because he uses the same password for everything to this day. And so my mom got in and see, he was fucking around with other women. he was trying to date, he was dating some fat bitch or whatever who had her gallbladder removed, and saying, you know, he was one of those dudes who you see a Tyler Perry movie, he's like, I want that to be us. I want to know that I left a 10 for a 5. I think that's sweet. Fuck? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Drex, he's a hero because he lets the 10 go.
Yeah, I guess. I don't understand the logic behind that.
But. I don't either. But then again, he's been with the man for 10 years, taking care of his kids, fucking him in an ass. It's like, come on, man. Who knows what's going through his mind?
Oh, fuck.
I tried very hard to have a relationship with my dad, but I gave up on that shit. So he goes up to Tucson. We don't know he goes up to Tucson. He literally abandons a wife and kids with a 3-year-old, my youngest sister at the time, in Arizona. Power goes out. My dad left to go pay bills. Power goes out. We're like, what the fuck happened? Actually, where's dad? He hasn't been home all day. My mom starts freaking out because she's like, yo, what the hell? Because my dad left with all the money, including my brother's paycheck and my paycheck. He dips. He checks himself into the VA hospital, tells him, don't fucking let my wife come see me. She has nothing to do with me. I don't know her. So the VA, because confidentiality, blocks her and keeps her from finding out where my dad's at. My dad gets up to Tucson, gets an apartment, gets all set up, and then wants to contact and say, hey, blah blah, this, you guys should come out here, I'll make sure you guys are taken care of. So at this point in time, my mom's losing her shit, obviously, because, you know, she's trying to figure out how to take care of this whole situation. But this is when my mom's truly like, I'm over this shit, fuck you, I'm done. And so we go out there, Tucson, me and my brother, we get jobs, we're taking care of shit. My dad, he's trying to come back into our lives. Keep in mind, my mom read us, her kids, the letter about how he wanted to kill us.
I know that.
And all sorts of other shit. It was rough. And the entire time, my mom was breaking down crying because she said, had she realized, he would have just stopped sooner. Because this was one of the first times I've ever seen my mom cry like this. She looked terrible. I'm talking that nasty, ugly cry, like, this is soul crushing. But then it was more so for us, her kids, who had to go through all this shit. And she said, the only thing that was worth it is that I had you, and referring to us and my siblings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we're basically the only thing that she said to us countless times, you know, you guys are my world. You're why I'm still here. You know, like, shit happens. I understand. But, you know, so then in Tucson, my dad starts rooming with this white guy, and they're having knockdown, drag out fights. And they're coming over and talking to my mom, saying, you know, blah, blah, this, and how, you know, and then my dad's telling everybody else how terrible and abusive my mom is to him. And like, now his friends are coming over to free my mom out. And I come out one day and I told him, that's not what you're going to fucking do, because that's the man who abused all of us. Get the fuck out of this apartment, leave. And I told my dad, you can go too. He's like, I pay for this shit. I said, you pay for nothing. And I handed the rent money and said, take it and go. Go get fucking high and die. And my mom's just like, calm down, calm down, calm down. So she's trying to, like, you know, cool things off, because my dad's like losing his shit and getting in my face. They're like, how dare you tell me what the fuck, you blah, 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 and just going off. You know, stereotypical angry, like the black woman in that neighborhood is just losing her shit because she doesn't like that she was told off. That was what my dad was doing. So then he meets this guy, Chris. And things start getting really fucking weird. Where my mom goes over to help my dad out with something. I don't know. It's under pretext that, like, my dad needed some assistance with something. And so she goes over, and then Chris ambushes her and starts talking about how you're not going to treat my dad this way and that way. Y'all are just stealing money from him. And then my mom, keep in mind, I'm like, yo, where's mom at? And she's like, over at dad's apartment. So I go over there and I hear this shit. I burst the door. What the fuck is going on in here? I just look around. What the fuck are you? And he's just like, I'm your dad's friend. I'm like, sure you are. And that's all I said to him. I'm like, so, and mom, we're going to go to the movies. You ready to go? She's like, yeah, I'll be there in a second. I'm like, we're getting ready to go, like, now. You know, I'm kind of like gesturing, like, we're ready to go. It's like, oh, what time is it? She looks down. It's like, okay, I'm going to go. And my dad's like, you're not just going to come to my apartment and disrespect me. And I said, okay. And? So this is when I started standing up to my dad, really, about this bullshit. But like I said, it started getting weird where my dad always wanted to have this guy, Chris, around to argue about how terrible things were and how terrible we treated him, how we don't understand how he feels. Some real feminine shit where we're talking about, you don't understand how he feels and he loves you guys. And I'm like, doesn't seem like it to me. You don't tell your family you love them when you said that you'd rather they die and that you'd be happy to kill them. That doesn't seem like somebody who loves them.
I mean, Chris Benoit was a loving father, right?
Oh, God, that guy. Beta male simp rage.
But yeah, so that's the genesis of where I said I think my dad, you know, DL. In fact, recently I had a call with him. He lost his shit over Jan 6 bullshit because I told him, you know, he again called his husband or his boyfriend, or the fuck you want to call this dude, because no man sits around and takes care of another man's kids, lives with them, and talks about them the way my dad does, and not be on the DL.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible. You can't tell me otherwise. And until he comes out of his face and says, no, that's not it, and provides me evidence and proof that you're not gay, I'm not going to buy it. Whatever the fuck that is. So he's just like coming at, you know, so he has me talk to this guy. And I'm like, obviously my dad is fucking high and drunk or something. He's on something right now. So I'm sitting there, I'm talking to this guy, and they want to start talking about stuff. He's like, yeah, man, see, your son is hella smart. You know, he knows what he's talking about. So, and again, this goes back to my education. My mom always telling us to look up stuff. So I know a lot of things about a lot of stuff, but I'm not an expert. You ask me a question, if I know the answer, I'll give you the answer to it. You know, it's to the best of my ability. And I might be wrong. I'm happy to admit that I am wrong on a lot of shit, you know? So this discussion with my dad, or with my dad's boyfriend, or whatever the fuck you want to call him, he's just like, you know, blah, blah. And my dad hops in, and they're like tag teaming this conversation and telling me where I'm off on this. I'm like, actually, did you like pay attention to any of this sort of stuff? And then my dad's boyfriend, he's just like, oh, yeah, so, you know, Trump is this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, you really want to go there? I don't think you want this fight. I'm about to smoke that ass. You're telling me that Biden is doing a better job than Trump? Really? And then I started going into that shit. And then my dad gets all... and I can hear him in the back. He's actually getting emotionally
stressed. But he started crying, though.
He started crying. Yep. How dare that man?
Yep.
I gave my oath to fight foreign, domestic, and all that bullshittery from the military that they tell you. And, you know, he likes to LARP like he was this big shit in the military, but he's nothing. He's nothing. Because he was medically discharged before he did anything. He spent more time in the psych ward than the Navy. Should tell you something.
Damn.
The Navy isn't anything.
Well, now, let me ask you this, though. Have you ever gotten to a point where you replay all of these events, but from your dad's perspective?
No, why should I? Fuck that. It's not worth my time. Why focus on something that doesn't mean anything? I'm only saying that because I have to, in order for me to move on, to try to see things from the side would be one to admit that I'm just as bad as him.
Mm.
And I know I'm not. And this is not a judgment. This is a simple state of fact. I'm not willing to abandon my family because I feel some type of way. There's a reason why I'm still trying to help out and do the things that I do, and why I feel bad that I can't help as much as I want, as I can, you know?
So to be clear, you haven't actually caught your dad on the DL, but the evidence is overwhelming.
No. I had to tell you that one.
Uh-oh.
It's very interesting when you walk by your dad's apartment to go pick up your sister. and you know, you pick up your sister, you come back, she forgets something, you go back over, and you hear noises, and you know there's only two men in that apartment. My dad, my sister also was left in the car when my dad went out and talked to a man, went into a bathroom with him, and came back out 30 minutes later. Now you tell me what the fuck was going on there.
They were playing solitaire.
And this was at a gas station, 7-Eleven. My mom lost her shit behind that. Said, you will never be alone with your daughter ever again.
Now, they could have been doing a line of coke together.
For 30 minutes?
Or they could have been blowing each other.
30 minutes? 30 minutes of line of coke? Nah.
Dude, that'd be some good ass coke.
Yeah.
And my dad did do coke. He's done ecstasy. He's done a whole bunch of other shit.
So, I mean, maybe he did coke off another guy's cock.
Andrew Gillum, both. Anyone?
Yeah.
That, I mean, like I said, there have been some times. I mean, no one who is, like I said, I know, look, the things that I've experienced, you just don't. Oh, my God. I mean, that's why I'm saying, like, this shit with my dad is on a level that's the best way to put it. It is so hard to articulate every little minute detail, things that happen. Like I said, if you wake up in the middle of the night and you just see someone standing over you, just staring at you, and you're in your bed, that's some wild shit. You know, what do you say? You're coming out of the shower and your dad's standing outside the bathroom door. What the fuck does that mean? And this is not his daughter, keep in mind, which, by the way, my dad has admitted to wanting to sleep with my sister before.
This fucker is a different kind of sexual deviant. Well, now,
the bipolarism is part of that too.
Yeah. We like weird impulses and weird.
Yeah.
Like, sexual deviant shit.
I wish I had Ken Jennings come in and maybe tell us a little bit more about this stuff. But for the limited of I know about bipolar disorder,
it elevates the highs and exacerbates the lows.
Yeah, the aggressive sexual, the aggressive sexual aspects are not the true person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's just something wrong in here. That now then again. The difference between impulse control and, you know, from what you say versus what you do is not much, right?
Right.
So there are instances of incest or abuse with a bipolar parent. But,
right.
Well, and look at Chris Chan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, manic behavior, hypersexuality. Yeah, like, I wish Kenneth Jennings was here because I only know a little bit of this stuff on the surface or things I've just come across or heard, but I'm sure he could shed a lot of light on it. But
there's more that I could detail as far as like the swings and knowing when. Like I said,
yeah,
I relate to Johnny running away. That shit. There was a period. I went to a county fair out in Arizona, and at the time, my friend was with us, and we went to a county fair, came back. My dad lost his shit because I just paid off my own credit card debt with my tax return. Keep in mind, the SIM card he told me, pay it off.
Yeah.
He was upset that I spent my own money, and they threw a book at me and said, you know, go learn how to be a man. Read this book, piece of shit.
Of course you did.
So I go sit in the bathroom. People are wondering where I'm at. You know? He's like, where the fuck is, you know, my family nickname is JC, which is the first initial of my first name and last name. And I have the same name as my dad. That also plays into the fact that he would just take my shit and put shit in my name and fuck up my credit. You know, yeah.
Now let me ask you this though: what was your mom's reaction to? Yeah, I'm assuming you told her about, you know, the other guy in the apartment. She had to have thoughts about all this behavior. She had to have some kind of reaction.
When we started coming and telling her all these things, she was like, she was so distraught, and she was like, had she known, she would have left him in New Jersey. When she said she would have never gotten back with him, had she known all this shit. Because she thought it was just a bipolar. you know, and once it was treated, you know, you live with it. She was given like this little booklet to say, here's how to deal with somebody's bipolar and how you handle that sort of situation and stuff like that. Because bipolar at this time was fairly new as a diagnosis for people. It wasn't like a common thing in mental health, at least that's my understanding at the time. So, you know, there wasn't as much information on it as it now, because I'll be 34 this year. So keep in mind, this was back like in the early 90s. Mental health was trash dead.
And
you know,
there's something specific about bipolarism. It's similar to narcissistic personality disorder. The person who suffers from it knows that they have it. And so, like, they're self-aware of the problem. And that means that they can use it to manipulate other people.
Yeah.
And that's I've what seen my this enough times. They blame it. You know, they'll do something outrageous and then blame it on the bipolarism.
Yeah. One of the most famous moments I noticed dealing with my dad was there's some sort of issue with my tax return. I came in and my mom and dad were arguing about something. And my dad's like, well, I'm not upset. But he had just laid into my mom. And she's like, I don't know why you're doing this. This, you know, I am so upset right now. I was like, my dad was like, well, I'm not upset. Like, it's your own problem. But he just tore my mom.
Yeah, it's the gaslight.
Verbally.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the sort of thing. So imagine me. I'm his kid. I have limited pushback where his wife has more pushback, and I'm being told I'm wrong. It's like, shit, fuck me, I guess, you know?
But anyways, now there's... I swear to God, Drex, Vanish's family sounds like the Garrison family, where the mom is screaming, I didn't know! I mean, it's obviously a little different because it's back, it's reversed, right?
It's reversed, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
There's some funny things about it, though, because, like, here's the thing. Like, look at it like this, though. Like, with red pill mindset, right? Do you ever, like, look back at your upbringing and it has more context now, right?
Like, oh, yeah, definitely. There's some times
when I'm looking
at it, it's like, yeah.
The situation.
It's definitely one of those situations where I can see the, you know, my dad would constantly, when he was younger, get compared to looking like Michael Jackson. So think about that. This is before the bleaching of the skin, long Jerry curl. A lot of women apparently really, really into my dad. And then all this sort of things. But my dad was strangely just kind of like not skirt chasing. Like he
was. Yeah, what like did you said do? He was.
And then I started hearing stories from my mom later on. This is after my dad left. Like, oh, they would get together and have sex, and then my dad would just kind of like it'll be over in like 30 seconds. My dad would go in the bathroom for an hour.
The fuck? It's kind of look.
He picked up an Abercrombie and Fitch catalog.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. There are times where my dad would make these weird comments about men that I look back at now. I'm like,
but again, that's that the aggressive hypersexuality is. That is a function of the bipolarism. So the comments are kind of like the vent of the steam because he wants to act out in a certain way. And, the comments is sort of the coping mechanism.
Right.
Yeah.
And then everyone kind of laughs at it and you diffuse the situation. Right. But
exactly.
I do know that, we're talking aggressive hypersexuality, which might be the reason why you have so many siblings.
Right. And the thing is, like, you know, I have five siblings where one passed away. So the remaining two, the one was premature, unfortunately, you know. So actually, my two youngest siblings were both premature. The last one, doctors were, you know, kept her monitored and stuff like that. So she's good. Now, you know, she'll be 18, I believe, next month. Yeah. 18, June 30th. So,
did you ever catch your dad jerking off? Just a random question, but. Because that would be the other thing, too. Like, especially.
I think so, because there's some times where, you know, my mom wouldn't be home. Like, you need to ask your dad a question, like, what's for dinner? You go upstairs and knock on the bathroom door, and you just. Turn the bathroom fan on,
You know, he spent a lot of time in the bathroom,
and
didn't
you're
he?
Just like, there's no water running, and you're like,
oh, no. Yep.
Well, now, and you just kind of wait there, and then you knock again, and you just say, hold on, busy.
Yep. Oh, no, yeah, dude, so, we know what he was jerking to on the hub.
The function of, especially when bipolar people get into puberty, it is the aggressive masturbation. Like, they just have to stimulate.
From what I understand from his siblings is that my dad would disappear for long periods of time.
Yeah. Now, that's you can attribute that to the bipolarism. The problem with bipolarism, though, is that because you're self-aware of the issue, you can also blame all of your other bad behavior on it.
Yeah, and that's what my dad would do. He's like, yeah, I'm sorry, it's because of bipolar. I was manic.
Yeah.
That was always a fallback. It's not me, it's the disorder.
And the reason I know this stuff is because thankfully no one in my family has bipolarism, but I was raised with, coming through the school, there was a couple of friends in my class that were diagnosed. And you stop talking to them after a while because it just became too much. It's like they'd say something so retarded, so ridiculous, and everyone just kind of, you know, yeah, record skip, right? And then everyone kind of looks at them.
Yeah.
And then they're like,
somebody's like, yeah, pause. Because they said something fucked up.
Yeah, that was always the case with my dad. It's just like, did anybody else catch that?
Or like the guitar string snapping, right? That ga-ching. Right. And everyone just kind of looks over at there and they're like, oh, that's my bipolarism talking. And it's like,
yeah, my dad was, we went out to, I think, Outback Steakhouse. And my dad, every time the waiter came up, said, put a shrimp on a Barbie and do a shitty Australian accent every single time. And a guy, it got to the point where my mom had to look over to my dad and say, can you please stop? You're bothering him. He's at work. He's like, you know, just trying to be funny.
Yeah, and you get weird comments like, you know, if he picked you up at high school and there was like a cute 16-year-old girl out there and he'd say something random like, imagine if she was a stripper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? You get that. And like literally everyone just kind of looks at him and it's like, where does that thought come from?
Well, yeah, you know, we also internalize that and we don't ever hold people accountable, right? I think a lot of us do that where we just go, oh, they're just weird. Like, we don't really say like, no, man, there's something like wrong with this person, right?
Yeah. Well, there is something wrong, but you can't force people to take their medication.
Yeah, true.
Right. And that was his, the biggest issue with him is that you literally could not get him to take his medication.
Well, and the worst... Now. It's worse to never take your medication than to be on and off and on and off.
And that's what he would do. He would go on for like 3 months and then come and then off of it
go
for
off.
6 months and then go on for like a year and then come off of it. Because he would say, and this is one of the things where I learned. I actually went to one of those Christian conferences or churches or whatever. And one of the messages was like, in order to heal and move on from things in life, you have to first admit that there's a problem. And that's one of the things that I started doing is I started doing a lot of introspection at that time. And it was just like, hey, the problem isn't with somebody else. If I'm seeing something that I don't like, maybe, hey, dumbass, it's you that's the problem. And by you, I mean me. Yeah. And I would look at myself like, man, I'm tired of people. Like, I don't like impatient people. So I'm like, maybe my issue is the patience. So I've got to work on my patience. Or I don't like people who are rude. Well, I need to work on me, myself, not being rude. So all these little things that I knew that would really bother me and piss me off, I would work on those things to become a better person. Because my idea is I want to be a better me than I was yesterday. And one of the things, when I came back from that conference, my dad was just like, hey, so you're back. You know, he's at this point in time, like my dad, I know like my dad's like on a manic high. So he's like all happy. He's asking me at the conference. Like, yeah, one of the important things that I learned from that is admitting that you have a problem, you know, and I have some problems I need to work on. My dad just looked at me and is like, oh, good for you, son. Walks off.
Well, let me ask you this. How much do you think his secret life had a bearing on his your upbringing, how he raised you guys?
Well, I can tell you this. My dad selected a church because he found somebody he wanted to fuck.
Oh, God damn. I knew it was coming. So, God yes. Damn.
So, yes.
Yeah, the answer is yes.
A lot. My dad made decisions or choices based off of where his dick was going.
And remember, so he's suffering from a condition that makes him aggressively sexual. So it was always at the forefront of his mind.
I'm not kidding. My dad admits to my mom that he was in a dealership job selling cars. He quit the job because a girl walked in. He liked her ass, and he was like, he planned on that night going over to her place and dicking her down. So he quit the job because he was like, yeah, I can't do that to your mom. It wasn't that my understanding, if this is just my speculation, is my mom found out and called his ass out on that shit.
I was going to say, he probably, and we're talking like, okay, so there's that. But then also the daily decisions you make, which grocery store to go to, which gas station to stop at, right?
My dad would always say like certain things, like we pull up to a security guard, male or woman, and just look them down and say, When you start hearing, you know, just like, how are you doing, sir?
Checking
about ID and stuff like that, and you just kind of you get this little it's little things that you don't really notice until you look back on them later, like they'll settle.
Yeah.
Like you're letting your eyes, like you focus your eyes straight ahead and just move the head up and down, so it doesn't look like you're just eyeing up and down. That's the kind of shit that you would see. Or my dad looking in the rearview mirror at somebody as he's driving forward and just talking about, man, son, what do you think about her? I'm like, I don't know. I wasn't paying attention, Dad, because I'm playing Mega Man 03 on my GBA. Like, what the fuck do you mean?
Well, let me ask you this. When you look at your dad's situation, what do you think that had an effect on your sister? Because we'll shift toward your sister. How do you think all of this affected her? And where?
Well, I can tell you this. My sister, I've bared witness to several physical violent situations with her. She was slapped in the face because she refused to go dick down a dude. Keep in mind, my dad really, really liked him.
Ugh. This is getting borderline incestual.
Wait. How could... No, Drex, I think we invented a new type of cucking where the dad gets off on a guy fucking his daughter.
Well, that was the kind of porn that people used to like laugh at, because I mean it was so over the top acted, because it's like, yeah, this guy clearly, you know, based on who it is, like, this is not the daughter, you know, because the fantasy element was like, even the fantasy element that didn't make sense, right? Like, guys would look at that and be like, dude,
no, I know exactly what you're thinking of, and that because you know that Pornhub pushes the whole stepfather thing, right?
Yep.
So I do remember one particular scenario where it's like, oh, I can't get pregnant, but I really want to have a baby with this guy. So, you know, will you fuck my stepdaughter and get her pregnant? Or sorry, no, his stepdaughter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry. His stepdaughter. They're all porn actors, all right? So, I mean, it was
yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it was a scenario.
It's a real degenerate shit.
Well, and I do remember, the curiosity kind of got to me when I saw the title of the thumb, but then I had to click that shit off, because I'm like, man,
it's too fucking weird.
Who's into that?
Yeah. Once you reach a threshold of, like, too damn weird, you just have to back off, like, okay, I've had enough internet for today. God damn.
Yeah, there have been a few times where I'm just looking at shit, like, I tell you what, I've seen some wild shit. Japanese hentai is... wild sometimes. Oh, I see some shit in my day.
We're not getting into that, but
yeah. As far as the stuff with my sister, I only know a few things that might have led. I know there was some abuse. We all kind of got it, but everyone was different. My dad's walked in on my sister while she's been on the toilet. No reason.
Nope.
No reason to go to that bathroom. He just bursts in. No knock, just goes in there. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, what were you trying to do? Take a peek? But keep in mind that, find out, you know, later, your dad thought about these things in relation to his daughter. Like, it's pretty fucked up. And then, so, even if my sister doesn't admit that that's part of it, she also married somebody who's very much like my dad.
Of course.
And she lived in an abusive house with him. One of the key things that happened that I feel like kind of just broke it. So she had a couple of strokes. So she's not all there mentally.
Like your mom.
Yeah, my sister. My sister.
Is that
so my sister had blood clots. Yeah, she's always had like these headaches and stuff like that since she was young, where she was getting tested, MRIs done, see what's going on. Because she had these crazy headaches that were causing her like faint level shit. So she, you know, on one of these trips, so she, that's one reason why my mom went out to, that's how we actually got back to Virginia. My mom said she's not going back to Arizona. She was upstate in Delaware with my sister who had just had her first kid and was helping her through the pregnancy because it was like touch and go. Like my sister could have passed away, you know, sort of situation. But that her husband at the time was in, they were living in his parents' house. Now this portion of part of Delaware is like, we ain't seen black people in a million years, sort of kind of shit. And so it was like weird in some ways, where they were like, it's like ironic that the one place where they're like, what's a black person? You know, ends up getting, you know, their son marries a black girl and ends up having two half black grandkids, you know, sort of situation. But this the mother spoiled the shit out of the son. Like she would go in his room and sleep in the son's room next to him for years and would coddle him and do all this weird crazy shit. There's so much. That's a whole story all on its own. I could talk about that shit for even longer. That's Drex, wild.
Drex, how the hell do these people find each other?
I was actually thinking that earlier. I wrote in my notes. It literally says educate/be better, but she chose your dad and she found him. How do you even find these people? Like you have to be seeking them out.
Well, in the case of my sister, so she's always had this problem of being of liking pretty people. And this is thinking about the red pill, right? Hyper attractive people, and my sister's at the time, you're talking like this is Hollywood 8. Like, damn. Like, blessed from the heavens with good looks. That, like, that shit. We're talking, you had dudes always trying to make pass at her. So, did she never have to try? You know? Mm-hmm. Just exist and your people hollering at you. But she's always been attracted to, quote unquote, attractive men. Hold on, let me turn on my light. I just realized it's getting dark in here. So she's always been into attractive men. We're like pretty boys, like your Japanese boy bands and Koreans and stuff like
K-pop
that.
K-pop shit?
Yeah. Yeah. So. She had a wall in her room during high school, what she called beautiful people. And all of them looked like effeminate, like very girlyish style men.
And how have her relationships turned out?
Lark and Seal and stuff like that. Well, all the ones that I know of, every one of them was basically a caricature of my dad in some way, shape, or form. Very, the personality or some sort of looks. Because my sister would always make comments about my dad when she would look at the family albums. Like, damn, dad was a hottie when he was young. I hope I find a man like that, too.
Oh, well, they were made for each other.
Yeah. So you get what I'm saying? So these are things category. That these are things that I'm like, when you're young, I'm like, damn, I'm not even saying that about my mom. I'm like, my mom got big tits, but that just means I like big tits. Like, fuck, you know? That's as far as that goes. I'm not trying to bang my younger version of my mom, because I'm like, that's just no-go zone, you know? That sort of thing. And that's where it gets weird, because it kind of reminds me of the whole, with the MGTOW and everything like that, where the hyper focus, especially for women, on visuals. It's not about the character or personality. You're always looking for somebody who's outwardly attractive. You're not looking at what makes them a worthwhile person to be with. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that my sister did. So that guy that my dad was like slapped her over, he was like a very what you would consider an attractive man. He had the good looks. He had the quote unquote suave. He played guitar. He worked the cards. And he was just this cool guy. He was cool. You want to know how he met my sister? this dude would come in and say, "How are you doing, sweet thing?" And would just hit her with these little, like, player, like, pickup line bullshit. You know, the game guys.
Yogi Obes.
Yeah, like Yogi Obes level Yogi. Bullshit of how to pick up girls. He was hitting them with the, "Did you fall from heaven?" or, you know, something like that. That kind of, level bullshit.
Drax, what do you, okay, so you're somewhere, right? You're hanging out with Dick in Tampa in Ybor City, and there's this nice girl beside you, and you see someone walk up and give that line. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
I would just sit there and wait for the slap, right? Like he would say that, but in 3, 2, 1, smack.
Wham!
Yeah, dude.
Except for my sister. She was spinning by the looks. Because every single guy my sister's gone for has all had long hair. Without a doubt. They've all had long hair and these very strong jaw lines. And always had like this kind of walk to them that was just like her type. And every single one of them, without fail, was my dad.
Okay, so, and this is the sister that's now, what's she doing now?
She works from home. She has two kids because her, so here's what's really fucked up. Her current husband left her for a girl who had, what's that thing where you don't brush your teeth? You really fucks your mouth up.
Gingivitis?
Yeah, she had like, or it was something worse than that. It's like.
Mouth cancer? Like,
let's just put it this way. This lady is terrible hygiene. Like, we're talking next level. What the fuck is going on with you, hygiene?
She
worms her way into his life. Keep in mind that this girl had no interest in my sister's husband until after he got married.
Yeah,
they had known about each other because family, friends, and stuff like that. Because it's a small town, sort of situation, or small city. Eventually, they get together and they berate my sister to the point where she breaks down on the highway and says, "I'm over this." She ends up coming down to stay in our area as support and stuff like that, but takes her kids with her, you know. And it's a whole fuck. Like I said, there's so much shit to this. To that, just that portion, to even get to the OnlyFans. So, you know, you find out your husband's cheating on you with somebody who's literally a ditch pig. Like, you were talking to somebody who has what I can only describe as chocolate teeth.
What?
Yeah. Her teeth are fucked. I don't even know how you get teeth that fucked up. We're talking brown. Like, you dyed your teeth with coffee brown. Like a year. Like you just. Yeah, it's bad. We're talking breath you can smell 6 feet away bad.
That's a hell no for me.
Yeah.
Keep in mind that he got this girl pregnant while still married to my sister. Got a house out of her using her credit and her Navy Federal account. And got a home loan. Then basically kicks her out with minimal support. And now they're playing all, let's just have a big old happy blended family.
Okay, so how does she handle it?
So she handles it. So when she finds out, she starts like literally running. So at this time, I'm still like I'm in that purple pill haze. So I'm thinking, there might still be a chance, Drex. I'm on dating apps. Tell me how I found my sister on Tinder, OkCupid, Plenty of Fish, and I think on Bumble. Every single one of them.
Choo-choo!
I'm not kidding. She was bringing home dudes. Keep in mind, at this time, her two kids, my mom, my sister, were in the same hotel room with her. She's bringing dudes to her to that hotel room, and they were sleeping in that same hotel room with my sister and my mom. My sister would go and disappear. She would get picked up by guys, come back. She had an STD scare.
Why is she doing this?
I don't know. That's the one I know about.
Oh, fuck. Of course, we had it.
All aboard!
That's what I'm saying. Like, And then how I found out about the OnlyFans was literally I was just over there just joking around with my youngest sister. Because I tried to be that guy to say, hey, don't be like these other women. Do better. Don't be for the streets. Don't be a 304. Like, she's listened to, she's heard Utrex. She's heard Hammerhand. I'm not kidding. I'm in the car. I'm playing that shit. My mom's heard you before. So...
Oh, wow.
Holler at us.
My mom has heard that I was coming on today. She asked who. I'm free to tell her, you know. If she has an issue with this, she'll come talk to me, you know.
I'll publish Friday.
But she knows where I'm at as far as this goes. Because it took me a while to tell her why I'm not getting married. Because, yeah, like, shit.
I love how they're shocked by that,
just,
though, right?
Just point to your mother and be like, Mom, you're
well, when I said
not
that, she
why
was
I'm
like,
getting married.
Well, it wasn't even that. I'm like, Mom, if I was looking for somebody, I want someone more like you. But that's even impossible to find. To find someone who is even, you know, half as kind of, you know, not fucked up is impossible because everybody out here is screwed up. I'm not willing to gamble my life away for the fact that somebody can sign up on the dotted line and get a free tickets and prizes, and when they decide to pull the ripcord, they can get away with all of my shit while I'm left holding the bag.
Dude, the irony is, there's a great irony to this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say for the sake of argument, you're out there looking for someone like your mom. Someone like your mom is already with a douchebag, thug,
yeah,
ex-con drug dealer, right? Like,
yeah,
like that's the irony, right? Like when you all look for a good girl, like, where's all the good girls?
We don't align with what we want.
I actually have a story for that. There's this Asian girl who I was, people were always telling me at work, like, you know, she likes artists. Like, people were literally like saying, dude, go for it. She's been talking about you nonstop. We need her to shut the fuck up. So I was like, you know, just... So I decided to, you know, actually pursue her. And so this was, like, I'm full blue pill. This is way back when I was working at Wawa, paying off my medical bills and shit. So I'm pursuing her, hanging out with her and stuff like that. The bad boy was dared to try to steal her from me. Slides into DMs. He gets her. Tell me why this dumbass walks in to her boyfriend's room while he's railing her best friend. And he doesn't stop. He keeps going. Asked her if she wanted to join in. She comes to work that night, crying her eyes out and saying, I wish it was you. And I just looked at her and I'm like, you could have had me. You chose him.
Yeah.
I don't care. And I turned around and continued back to work. And everybody's like, that's so rude, man. You should have just, you know, consoled her and, you know, been there for her. And I'm just like, even during my blue pill phase, I had enough present sense of mind to understand that is the dumbest bullshit.
Yep.
Never play second fiddle.
Yeah, you're just going to get used.
I was anyways, always of the mind to never play second fiddle.
We're going to have to wrap soon.
Yeah. Definitely. I appreciate it.
No, Vanish, thank you very much for coming in. Is there anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I'm actually about to put on, for the same YouTube channel, Vanish Mantle. I just recorded some audio for a rant about the Halo community and how fucking dumb they are. And that's going to be up on YouTube tonight. And then just, you know, check out my game. It's on the Creative Virtual Magic YouTube channel. And you can also search the website as well. You can punch that in, creativevirtualmagic.com. You can try out the demo. Let me know what you think. I'm still working on it. I know there's been no update on the website. I'm one guy. I try to manage all this stuff, and that's basically it.
You know? How do you think I feel?
Yeah. I mean, unlike you, I work a 40-hour work week. No, I'm kidding. That's just fucking
you. Oh, fuck you.
I know, man. I'm fucking you. I'm fucking
anyways.
With you, man.
Drex, final thought to you before we call that.
I just love the fact that when a person is red pill, they can go back and see all of the bullshit that happened even before it happened. Like, you know, the you of today, if someone says, Vanish, you can go back and talk to your younger self, you can, like, warn him about everything that's coming, right? And then, like, mm-hmm. School him. Because, like, your situation, what makes it so unique is that, like, it can happen to anybody. Because, like, you know, there's going to be a guy out there that goes, but this story just sounds so crazy, man. How does it happen? Yet, at the same time, when you look at red pill channels, what do you hear, Tim? Why are these girls all on OnlyFans? And blah, blah, blah. It's like, what do they always say? Whatever, what was the home situation, right? Your mm-hmm. home life fucked really up. Dictates a lot of shit. Boys and girls, right? It affected you. it affected your self-esteem. Like, your dad's actions. Remember, let's be honest. By extension, your mom's actions for choosing him. Mm-hmm. We talk about that all the time, right? Good girls choosing the bad boys and the fuck boys and all that. Yeah, it's an endless cycle. You know what I'm saying? Like, to convince the girls. Tim, I think that's still harder. I think it's harder to convince a girl. You remember, because when they're young and hot, of course, they think they can get any guy, use any guy. That's harder for them to understand of picking the right guy than it is to red pill or blue pill.
Yep.
That's the thing about it. A blue pill guy just needs to go through like one bad situation, right? He gets cheated on. He goes to the family court. He sees his buddy go to the family court. He just needs one thing to happen. When it comes to women, could you imagine trying to tell his sister, don't do OnlyFans, don't get with bad boys, don't get with these pretty boy type guys? They don't want you like that. They won't listen. That's shocking, man. Damn, yeah. I love your story, though.
And it's like, we've said this before, you could do everything right and still get the wrong result. You could have been a proper father, right? Strong sense of justice and discipline, right? You instill values. You say, okay, don't get ran through, right? I'll pay for your school, but you better do something with it. Or, you better learn to cook. You better learn to clean. And no to tattoos, no piercings.
She can still wind up on busting that thing open on OnlyFans. Still.
Fucking put a pistol up her cunt and shoot it.
Anything can happen. And that's what's funny is that, like, you really have a duty advantage to tell your younger siblings, right? Especially your sister who isn't on OnlyFans, yo, this is what's out there, right? Because that's the only way they learn.
Well, that's the thing. You could show them the train wreck. You could see the derailed train over there, and it's like, look at that. That's what happens when you do X, and they'll still want to go and do X, right?
I know.
My youngest sister is very much a creation of, because she spent more time with us as, my two brothers and me. So she's more along the line of where we are as far as life goes. She's not interested in running the streets and doing that dumb shit. So for that, I'm thankful that she's picked up on that, and she's not trying to go out there and be a 304, and that's one of the things that's why I said I will play, content like this where I'm showing, like, even still, because I've talked to her about Discord or stuff, and she has her opinions on this, but she's like, I can see where guys are coming from, and a lot of girls are really fucked up and they didn't get their shit together. Now that is wild to hear, considering where I come from, but I always couch it in the fact that there's always a possibility. So I'm not gonna say it can't happen. It's just a matter of, I always tell her, choose not to let it happen, And I try to be that influence in all my siblings' life. I try to show rather than do. And it doesn't work out, even though I am the oldest. We're still all very close, and we all just kind of get along, but they're all their own person. Like with my youngest brother, we had some disagreements about something, but I was like, I will step back and let you make your own decisions. Just understand when things go south, that's on you.
Yeah, absolutely. Always let them know.
The proper role of a parent too, and I mean father more than a mother, but the proper role of a parent is, look, I'll give you the knowledge, then you go out and be yourself, and I'll be here to pick up the pieces when you fail.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because they're going to fail every time.
Because they're going to fail at least once, right? And it's unconditional, and you're like, well, wait a second, that sounds like simp behavior. Yeah, parents simp for their kids. That is the natural order of things. You're doing it wrong if you expect to get back what you put in.
Yeah. Not going to happen. That comes, it's much more of delayed gratification with that from a parental standpoint. Yeah. That's why, a lot of guys can do whatever. They can fuck off in their life. And in their 30s, even 40s, be like, now I'm going to get serious and still make it.
Fuck it. I'm going to law school.
It doesn't happen on the other side.
Yeah.
You see a chick in her 30s or, God forbid, 40s, she's like, now I'm going to get my life together. Whatever choices she's made up to that point has fucked up everything.
It's really unfortunate, but that's that's the exact situation my sister's in. And, you know, I feel for her because my mom was always telling her, I'll put it like this. My sister, being an artist, she actually has ties to people in Hollywood. She could be working for Disney at this point in time, but she turned it down for
Debbie Duke.
For her husband, you know, I mean, her husband is related to the guy who helped create Invader Zim and said he could get her a job in the industry.
And she said no.
Yeah, Koopa's right. Don't forget the crew woman who fully hit the wall. Yeah, because there isn't much of a wall for men. I mean, you could say midlife crisis, but that's mindset as opposed to an actual number.
Yeah. A guy can go through like a midlife crisis and still have another at least 20 years of great life left. Like at least. Like, so, if you hit your at 45, you get a midlife crisis, right? You can then change everything, your diet, your everything, right? Your money, your career. And then you can still move forward and be like, yo, I'm living my best life. Let's face it, a lot of guys get divorced by that age.
Yeah.
They have to like rebuild their
life. So their life improves is what you're saying.
Yeah, their life improves. So on that note.
Yeah. All right. That's it, everyone. Vanish, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for coming in, brother.
Peace. No, anytime.
All right. Stay toxic, Kings.
Stay frosty.